halachas about learning the halachas of Yom Tov that we had. There are very few situations where Chazal actually gave us the curriculum of what we're supposed to learn. Right? Chazal gave us the curriculum of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. Shnayim Mikra is the Din D'Rabbanan. That every week a person has to go through the Parsha, has to be finishes, go through Torah Shebichsav, Imat Tzivur. If a person isn't able to finish during the course of the week, then he can, there are all sorts of fallbacks, all sorts of plan B. Tuesday's a plan B, and if not, Shemini Atzeres is a plan B. But Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, to learn the Parsha with at least translation. Preferably, a person should learn Chumash Rashi. But Rashi is the part of the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi has become part of the culture of Klal Yisrael. So, ideally, a person should learn Chumash Rashi every week until one really has mastered Rashi. And then Chazal give us a curriculum of how to organize one's time around learning. But then Chazal, Moshe Rabbeinu made a takana to learn Hilchas Chag B'Chag. Then in Yom Tov, one should spend time learning the Yom Tov Tikkun Yonim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was mesaking to learn Shloshim Yom Kodim. So the machlokes, whether that's only Pesach or that's every Yom Tov. So the very end of the Gemara Megillah, Rashi points out that the din of learning Hilchos Chag B'Chag is not only to be prepared for the mitzvah itself. It's not only a din in knowing what to do. V'araya, Rosh Hashanah, if you learn Hilchos Shofar, Rosh Hashanah afternoon, that's the din of Hilchos Chag B'Chag. Yeah. After the Hilchos Chag B'Chag is probably Rosh Hashanah afternoon. Right? Or Leil Rosh Hashanah, you have to eat the Suda. So there isn't much left of Leil Rosh Hashanah. So you have to rest for the morning. In the morning, do the mitzvah. So Hilchos Chag B'Chag doesn't mean I have to learn Hilchos Shofar in order to know how to blow Shofar. Because then that would only be for maybe at night, maybe for half an hour in the morning before davening. But Hilchos Chag B'Chag, the second last Rashi in Megillah, I believe points out that that's part of the Yom Tov is appreciating the mitzvahs of the Yom Tov, is learning from the mitzvahs of Yom Tov. So Hilchos Chag B'Chag, in addition to knowing what to do, is also getting, on Rosh Hashanah, we are not only supposed to hear the Shofar, but we're supposed to be ma'ayin into the sugya Shofar. In fact, the HaMikdover writes, it's a Kiyum Deiraisa. He writes that's Pshat and Zichron Trua. He writes it's a special din of Rosh Hashanah to learn Hilchos Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But that's the point that I want to make. You see that part of the learning of the sugya of a Yom Tov that enhances our Yom Tov, enhances our the mitzvahs of Yom Tov. So Shloshim Yom Koinim is a similar capacity. It not only prepares us for the Yom Tov, and it may only apply to Pesach, because there's so many halachas, but there's another aspect of Shloshim Yom Koinim, and that is to have one's mind engaged. Right? In Yiddish it's called, you probably heard the phrase, Arangatan. To have one's mind engaged in the Yom Tov ready from before. So that's the best way to engage your mind is to be ma'ayin into the sugyas, each one, kefi rucho, kefi mekam, each one. Everybody's their own way. Everybody in Baruch Hashem, because Baruch gave us a Torah which is so broad and soon so nuanced, everybody can prepare themselves intellectually in the neshama in a different way. Some will learn a sugya b'iyun. Some will go through learn the mishnayos. Some will have a favorite sefer of mamorim, which a person finds inspiring. Each one, kifida hilchos chag b'chag. Chazal didn't say exactly to do it. They just gave us the Mori Derech. So the sugya that I want to look in today, I called it the sugya Machnisei Rachamim. It's really the sugya Machnisei Rachamim, which is part of it. Machnisei Rachamim gets the most, the highest profile in the sugya. The sugya is really that over Yom Ne'erayim, we engage in unusual forms of tefillah that we would not usually do. Machnisei Rachum is one of them. The end of Slichos, we begin saying Slichos Matzoi Shabbos. So at the end of the Slichos, we say Machnisei Rachum, Machnisu Rachamecha. How do we say it? Machnisu Rachamecha Chameinu. Machnisu Rachameinu. Lifnei Baal Rachamim. This Nusach that I have over here is the Nusach from Rav Amram Goyen. And I wanted to point out that the passage of Machnisei Rachamim goes back to the Gaonim. The first record of the passage, the Payet, is in Rav Amram Goyen. So you're talking about well before the year 1000. In Rav Amram Goyen's Siddur, he was one of the first that had an organized Siddur in a fashion similar to our own. So it goes back, very, very far back. And his Nusach, I think, is even prettier than our Nusach. Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisei Rachameinu Lifnei Baal Rachamim. Now we find that already in the times of the Balei Tosfos, Machnisei Rachamim came under fire. Because I found in the Sefer of the Shiboli HaLeket, around 1200, that the Shiboli HaLeket already defended it and was saying, not so bad, it's okay, it's mutter. So if you have a Rishon who's saying, this is mutter, obviously somebody was saying, not mutter. Right? What's the problem with Machnisei Rachamim? Because the Machnisei Rachamim are the Malachim. So the some Rishonim were saying, we don't dive into Malachim. We dive into Ribbono Shel Olam. And diving to a Malach, some use the language, is a form of Shituf. What's Shituf? Right? Shituf means conjoining powers with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? Pure Avodah Zarah is if one replaces the Ribbono Shel Olam with some other pagan source of power. Shituf, if one gives the Kadosh Baruch Hu a Shutuf, a partner. So Shituf is also Avodah Zarah, certainly for a Jew it's Avodah Zarah. It's Machlokes if Shituf is Avodah Zarah for a non-Jew. But for a Jew, Shituf is Avodah Zarah. So if I talk to a Malach and ask a Malach to help me out, am I not already raising a Malach to the power of Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Shemei Tzvila? So that was the kash that was raised. Obviously, Rav Amram Goyen and Adiyei Mezeh has become part of Klal Yisrael's Nusach and has undergone various suggestions, maybe to change it here and there. But that was and still is very much questioned. Where else do we have this issue of turning to Malachim that's questioned by some groups in Klal Yisrael? Oh yeah?
Shalom Aleichem.
Okay, Shalom Aleichem. Yeah. I was saying Shalom Aleichem. There are groups in Klal Yisrael that skip the third. Right, Baruch Hu L'Shalom. Right, was that? Well, I'm not sure, but certainly I think Rav Chaim Volozhin writes it out. So to skip Baruch Hu L'Shalom because even though Chazal describe that Malachim come back with us Friday night and they stick around to see whether the home is set up for Shabbos or not, but then to turn to the Malachim and say Baruch Huni, so that's that came under criticism. Then the next practice, the Ramar writes at the end of Simon Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, Yesh mekoymos noyegin leilech al akvaros ulaharvos shom betachanos. That one of the minhagim of the days before Rosh Hashanah is to go to a cemetery and to daven in a cemetery. So again, we are very familiar with the idea of going to a kever of a mishpacha. We're familiar with going to the kibri tzadikim mispalel. There was a practice to be mispalel to daven again during the preparatory days of Rosh Hashanah. Leilech al akvaros, even if it's not a korev, even if not a tzaddik. What's one doing in the Beis HaKvaros? What's one davening there? So, then also that practice was a very, very sharp machlokes rishonah. The Rambam was extremely strongly against going to the Beis HaKvaros to daven for anything. Because the Rambam held was a mokum tumah. The Rambam would be upset probably if he would know that people come to his kever to daven all the time. Right? Maybe he's lucky, maybe it's not really a scare, it's not clear. You and I know that the Rambam was a Das Yochid, and that has become broadly accepted, the whole Tzvutzei Zoretz, to daven at Kivri Tzadikim, to daven at the Kvarim of Kroivim, and here the Ramah writes, to daven Stam based on Kvarim, that the Chovetz Chaim, Mishneh Berurah, was very, very quick to point out the Beis HaKvoris Humokoim Menuchas HaTzadikim V'atfilin Eskabelis Shom Yosef. Then what are we doing in a Beis HaKvoris? So Chavetz Chaim says, because of Beis HaKvoris there are places that have especially enhanced for davening. Right? The Gemara says La'olim Yisrael Odom Humokoim Limudai. If a person has a choice of davening in Reuben or davening in Gluck, so he davens in Gluck, that's Mokim Limudai. So the tefillah will be more miskabel to daven in Gluck, because that's right by his learning, the chuis of his learning. A person has the choice of davening, even b'yachidus, davening in his own house and davening in the shul. So it seems from the Gemara that it's preferable davening in the shul. Rashi writes in Brachos, because the shul sounds like even the walls of the shul had carry with them, have absorbed the tunes of the various tefillahs. So that makes the shul a mokoy, a place that is more miskabel. So the Chavetz Chaim writes, the Beis HaKvoros is a place mokoy menuchas atzadikim vatfila niskablu shom yoiser. Ach, al yosim agomosli negen amesim. A person should not be addressing the mesim. Ach yevakesh mi Hashem yizbarach sheyiten alav rachamim bizchus atzadikim shoich neyofar. The Chavetz Chaim says, Chavetz Chaim was a Litvak, right? So Chavetz Chaim is saying, what are you doing in a Beis HaKvoros? Can't daven in the Mason. Right? Beis HaKvoros, you're saying, so many schuyas over here. Right? But it sounds like from the Ramah, even if they're not Kivri Tzadikim, Chavetz Chaim is probably saying, look, there are Tzadikim over here, there are schuyas over here, there are maybe Yisurin over here. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu should have Rachmonus b'zchus tzaddikim. All right. Then another unusual part of the davening of Yomim Ne'iroim is that we not only turn to Malachim as intermediaries, but the Shliach Tzibur becomes an intermediary. Right? Where do we say that? You have it in a few places in davening. Hidden the Yonim Yimas, Nirish v'Nivchad. So I just picked the line. Bosi lamoid was chani lefanecha al amcha Yisrael asher shelachune. Now, in a regular day, even with the regular day of Shabbos, the Shlich Tzibur is not representing me. Shlich Tzibur is keeping the Tzibur in check, right? The Shlich Tzibur for Pesukim Zimur, there is such a thing. So he's just keeping us time synchronized. Shlich Tzibur for Krishma, right? There's a little bit of a backwards and forwards. A Baruch Hu, a Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. He's not davening for me. Chazaras Hashatz was for a Jew who was not able to read, didn't know davening, didn't have a sitter. So the Shliach Tzibur is motzi this Jew. He's not representing the Jew. He's being motzi the Jew with his tefillah. The Rav took it a step further. The Rav said that the Shliach Tzibur, there's actually a tefillas rabbim, a public tefillah. But that means it's a tefillah of klali of the Tzibur. He's a chiddush. That the Shliach Tzibur is an intermediary. And that's why in Hidni Yonim Yimas, the Shliach Tzibur gets quiet a few times. Sometimes he gets quiet because he's talking to Malachim. So they were told to keep that quiet, keep it under the wraps. And the other time that he gets quiet is because he's saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not really worthy of this. I have a lot of embarrassment to do with myself. But it's like he has to negotiate with the Rebbe a little bit. So he doesn't want to announce to the whole Tzibur, I have all these embarrassments to worry about. So he says it quiet. But he says, Al tavshiyem b'chatosi v'al techayveim abayinoisai. And you have a similar phrase in the Musaf Chazor Sashatz Heyei No in Pipius Shluchei Amcha. So all of a sudden we have a new idea that the Shlich Tzibur is an intermediary. Is it such a new idea? No, we have it. There is precedent to this. The Ramah writes that if a person is in a terrible situation, sheyelech el chacham here, should go to the chacham in the city to daven for him. The chassidim, to have the rebbe daven for them. But the idea of having institutionalizing as part of davening, it's a little bit pella. So when you think about it, all of a sudden we hear Yom Ne'ron, we made tefillah, and we do things that don't usually do. Ask Malachim to help us out. Beis HaKvaros, ask the Mason to help us out, but the Ramah writes, no. It's not the Mason. And then we ask the Baal Tefillah, all of a sudden we have all these intermediaries. And then just to round out the Iyun, so I pointed out that there's another very, very strange form of davening which we do. What's that? It's number four. It's also Shulchan Aruch. Goes back to Gemara, Siman and Milsa. Right? The most common, everybody, ever since kindergarten, right, takes an apple, right, puts it in the honey and says, Yehi Ratzon. What kind of davening is that? Who needs the apple? Sounds like a kid's game, right? But the Gemara, Siman and Milsa, Shulchan Aruch, head of a fish, head of an animal. Shenila Rosh, Shulchan Aruch has, the Gemara in Kritzis has six different foods that the Chazal advocated for Leil Rosh Hashanah. It's all the same idea. A bizarre form of davening. What else do we do that? We do some concrete... Ramban explains in Parshas Lech Lecha that there is a concept in davening, and that's what this is based on. There's a concept in davening of creating the keli for Kadosh Baruch Hu to fill the keli. Right? When do we have that? By Eliyahu Novi, right? When the Almana came to Eliyahu Novi and said, "I have no parnasa for myself and my family," so what did Eliyahu tell him to do? Is that borrow kelim, right? And organize as many kelim as possible. And she first asked, "What do you have in the house?" So she said, "I have a little bit of oil and some kelim." So he said, "Get as many kelim as possible and start pouring." And there was enough oil to fill all the kelim. Sounds like from the pasuk that if she would have had more kelim, more friends, more kelim, right? She would have said, double decker, tearing them up, she would have even more oil. There was enough oil to fill the kelim which she had prepared. She fewer kelim, fewer oil. More kelim, more oil. So you see there's a concept of turning to Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, "I have kelim. Give a bracha, please, to my kelim." Right? So there's a form of tefill like that. So the Ramban says, the Ramban has other examples of that, where the Navi tells the king comes to him and says, "I'm going to fight Aram." The Navi says, "Take a stick and beat the ground." And he beats the ground three times. The Navi says, it'll be a three-star victory. But if he would have beaten the ground four times, five times, he would have done away with Aram altogether. So the Ramban explains that there is a form of tefillah which is creating kelim. And the MS is, it's a much deeper idea. It means that is so much of our davening. So much of our davening is, we create kelim for Kadosh Baruch Hu. We daven atoch chani lorim das. We daven Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us with our learning. Right? But if a guy doesn't open the sefer, I highly doubt if he gave a very powerful tefillah. I'm not suggesting to do a controlled experiment. But a very powerful tefillah. But if he doesn't open his sefer, I very much doubt he's going to get right. And if he opens and kefi in accordance with the amount of amelus he puts in, he'll get a bracha. We have to create kelim. A person says baruch aleinu, a gavaldik tefillah. He asks for parnasa. He doesn't put himself out to try to earn the parnasa. L'chari hasn't created kelim for. So all of tefillah might require the creation of kelim. So we take that concept and we concretize it to a great extent. So that's what I'm suggesting, that you look at Yomim Ne'iroim and we have these unusual forms of tefillah, and the makor might be that shofar is a form of tefillah. You probably learned that in previously very sure and point out that shofar is a form of tefillah. So it could be that was a simon and vilsa, that's why we do unusual forms of tefillah. They came across the comment of a Ricanti. Some call him the Ricanati. Ricanti was an Italian. He wrote a Perush to Chumash. He's one of the Kadmonim. I believe he's one of the very late Rishonim. Really, I'm not sure. I think he's still in the Rishonim. So he has a remarkable horror in Parsha Shlach. He has Kolev goes to the Kever Avos on his way to Eretz Yisrael. So Kolev knew he needed special Siyata Dishmaya because he looked around and saw what was going on, and because he saw that Yeshua got a special bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. So if he sees that Yeshua is getting a special bracha, it means he's going to require great siyata d'shmaya. So we know what he does. Vayovel chevron. He goes to the kever avos of the kever of the avos, and the Rakanti says, "You know what Chazal say? Shacholach shom lishtateich al kivrei avos." The Omar, and we know Chazal tell us what tefillah he said. Avosai. Bakshu alai rachamim milifnei akadosh baruch hu kedei she'enotzel me'atzas ha'miraglim. Zeh amamor yachsom pi ya'omrim she'en le'mar machnisei rachamim. Right? Rakanti was learning Parsha Shlach all the way at the beginning of the summer, end of June, and he was saying that he learned this ha'orah, this gemara, so it silences all of the naysayers of Machnisei Rachamim. Parenthetically, it silences those naysayers and it silences those who are against going to Beis HaKvaros. It makes the Chofetz Chaim's comment maybe much more pointed than it has to be. He says, in one fell swoop, one good agoda, one moment in history, and look what happens. Kolev goes to Beis HaKvaros and he turns directly to the Avos. Bakshu alai rachamim. So whatever kasha you have in Machnisei Rachamim, Kolev. Right? Gam masha omru. V'loma yoytzen lebeis hakvaros kedei shamesim yivakshu leim rachamim. Alright? Okay, now Phil has a horror, but the horror is true for Achnis Rachamim as well. Right? You're saying that he's not asking the Ovis to do anything. All he's asking the Ovis to do is to mispalo. That's an emes to gevorot. But that's what Achnis Rachamim is also. We're not asking the Machnis, the Malachim, to answer the tefillah. We're asking the Malachim to help us make Mispala. So that's a huge difference. It's very possible that if we would say to the Machnisei Rachamim, help us raise our children, help us learn, that'd be a big problem. But Machnisei Rach, help us daven, so we are still 100% committed that the Ribbono Shel Olam is our Kol Yochel. And it could be the same thing for being pointed El Al Mesim. Kolev didn't say to the Oves, Avoisai, Tinatzli me atzas amiraglim. He said, Bakshulei rachamim, b'tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that l'chor is a very important mahalach over here. The Shiboli Aleket, when he addresses this issue, Machnisei Dima, say, obviously, it was the 1300s, so obviously he was responding to critics, because he says, Ein bozeh mishum mishatev shem shemayim. Right? In other words, obviously there were those who were saying, Shituf, Avarizara. No, it's not a problem. V'dovin. She'ein adoyme l'mashe shaninu because the classic case of Shita of Shev Shemayim is a person who looks at the Mizbeach and says to the Mizbeach, you and the Rabbonu Shel Olam should give me kapara. You and the Rabbonu Shel Olam should do something for me. For Rabbi Avigdor HaKohen Zatzal, Hevi Raya. And he says, Bava Gavaldig Raya. A Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Dalam Beis. A lot of the Svarim who respond to the criticism of Machnisei Rachamim point out this Gemara. Gemara says, Mem Dalam Beis, that Gemara says, only a person should always daven before the Tzara. Daven because Rosh should protect us from the Tzara. But then the Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yechanan La'olam Yevakesh Adam. I believe in our Gemara it's ma'amsin with an aleph. Upeirush Rabbeinu and Rashi's pshat is sheyisayeyu malachei ashores levakeish rachamim v'shelo yitelo mastinim milmala. That a person should turn to malachim and say, apparently there are malachim down here who are our friends, and then malachim up there, some of them are not such big friends of us, right? That's be'ein melitz yosher mul magid pesha. Who are the magidei pesha? So that there are malachim whose job it is to be makadrig against us. There are malachim whose job it is to remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the errors that we did. So the Gemara says, we have malachim who are with us. The Gemara, I don't know if we still have malachim. The Gemara says, it used to be a practice, be a minig, maybe even a din. That before going into the bathroom, so you stop for a second and you turn to the malachim on either side and say, I have to go someplace that you can't go, you don't have to go to this, you don't need to go here, and take leave the malachim, and then when you come back out, you rejoin the malachim with this. We don't have that practice nowadays. So the Gemara of Yechanan says that we should ask the malachim will come to us. And we should say to those malachim, help our tefillas. Hakol ma'amsin. So Rosh Shiboli Aleket says, number one, it is not shituf because we're asking the malachim to help our tefillas. And number two, that was even encouraged by the Gemara. To ask the malachim, my tefillas are going to be up against the Magidei Pesha. My tefillas are going to may end up being challenged by the malachim who are up again by the makatrigim. So I should ask malachim to try to weigh in against the malachim lamala. So on Khan we see that there is certainly precedent for the idea of having talking to malachim. We do see great care is taken so that one doesn't approach the malachim and ask them to do something for us as if they have power that's akin to Kadosh Baruch Hu's power. But the idea of asking a malach to intercede by bringing our tefillas so that we have precedent for that. All right? Exactly what's the depth of the sugya, I'm not sure. But there's precedent for it. And that would be reason enough to leave the tefillah alone and say it's been with us since Rav Amram Goyen. We just finished up with the Chassam Sofer, and there's your time for some questions. The person who is in the last few hundred years who is usually associated with discouraging Machnisei Rav specifically is the Maharal Mifrag. The Maharal in the Sivas Olam, he is the one that both strongly criticizes it as well as finds some defense for it. He points out to the Chassam Sofer. The question was posed to Chassam Sofer. So the Chassam Sofer writes in Kuf Samach Aleph, he writes, Ikaros, I received your letter. And the person who sent the letter asked the kash on the Maharal. then how could the Maral criticize Machnisei Rachamim She'ein lonu malachim klum? We don't talk to malachim, we don't ask them. So the questioner asks questions that, but we do have psukim and we have Mamor Chazal that we do talk to malachim. So the Chasam Sefer says that you didn't read the Maral carefully enough. And the Maral answers these questions. And then the Chasam Sefer says, but because it is hard to read the Maral, I'm going to explain something that the Maral said. So here the Chasam Sofer addresses one comment of the Maharal. This is the Maharal. Vafilu, it's the bold face towards the middle of the page, towards the bottom. Vafilu imuter loimel odam acher ispalel alai. Zeu eitzel odam shu oisa chesed im chaveira. The Maharal in the first paragraph that I have over here addresses a machnisei rachamim. In the second paragraph, he addresses the idea of going to Beis HaKvaros. Here, he addresses the third idea of asking another person to intercede. Zeu eitzel odam shu osa chesed im chaveiroi. Ulefichoch yochol loimar asei iti chesed ze vispalel alai. Avu malachim leishayach lemerkach. Vachu derech tfilu bakosha. When it comes to another person, you can say, do me a chesed daven for me. So Chasam Sefer says, I'm going to explain the omkos of what the Maharal said. It's a little bit strange. What does the Maharal mean? Do me a chesed, that's okay. Malachim, you can't ask to do a chesed. So the Maharal says, the Chasam Sefer says, it's a fascinating idea. Chasam Sefer says at the top of the omen, top of the page, he says that it is entirely expected that a human king has secretaries and various people who meet and greet and filter the people coming to him. And this intermediary has a double function. Number one is if the petitioner to the king is not so choshev, doesn't deserve private time, doesn't have enough money to pay for time with the politician, so therefore he doesn't get to meet the politician. He gets the lobbyist just gets an aide, right? AID, right? That's, or he gets a secretary. But that's part of the way that the politician, that the leader, the king says, sorry, not choshev, right? Part of the or in a situation where the lobbyist hasn't organized the material well enough. His case is not fully prepared, ready to bring to the king. So it's good to have an intermediate. Historically, in the 1940s, there was a large group of rabbanim that went to protest in Washington to ask the government, the American government, FDR, to do something on behalf of the Jews who were dying in Europe. And there's a large group of rabbanim, and it's organized by the Yagoda, and the president did not come to meet the group. He sent the vice president, and that was seen at that time, and to this day, it's analyzed as such. It's seen as such a dismissal. Here you had the worst events of the time going on in Europe. You had rabbanim, hundreds of rabbanim coming, and the president not come down to see them. He sent the vice president. So the rabbanim saw that as, first of all, they saw that we're not so powerful. Right? The Jews are not, have so many Jews who are being represented. But then they also took terrible, they saw that means that nothing's going to happen. That was the president's way of saying, I'm not dealing with this. Rabbi Rekefet, when he discusses the history of Rabbi Soloveitchik, he says that was a turning point for the Rav. That the Rav moved from Aguda to Mizrahi in the 50s. So Rabbi Rekefet explains, I know you're evaluating the accuracy, but the line of reasoning is fascinating, and there's an emphasis to it, that the approach of a guru is to be non-activist, to be political, work behind the scenes, use your relationships, not to be in-your-face activist. The approach of Mizrahi was much more to be out there, getting the people together, using the American system to try to work the system. So the Rav was very much came in part of the Aguda world. And he moved for various reasons. The Mizrahi, one is because he understood the state of Israel to be part of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Agili of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the Kol Dodi Dofei. But also, according to Rabbi Kefet, because he saw that when the president didn't come down, so he saw that the methods that Jewish political leadership were using were not effective, not working in America. And that's, according to Rabbi Kefet, that's one of the reasons that the Rav shifted over to become more of an activist. But what I'm pointing out is that what the Chasam Sofer is saying over here is very, very true to life. That to have an intermediary means that's the way the king says, I'm not dealing, you don't make the bar, not chosho enough, you're not ready enough. The Yan Yisrael lifnim mi malachi ha-shoreis v'enim tzrichim melitz lifnei o'av ha-mizbaruch shemo. But Jews don't need a melitz their own shalom. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he loves us. He doesn't tell a Jew, not choshev enough, speak to my malach. That's why we don't speak to malach. Because it's not only an issue of shituf. We don't speak to malach because Kodesh Baruch Hu has told us, Koyev Hashem l'chol koyev. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that the concept of using an intermediary means that means you're not so important to me. You're not close to me. I have a secretary, I have an aide for that. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say it to us. Who mekabel b'sever ponim yofis afilu b'lshon ilgim gimgum. And even if we are not so well prepared, and we can't express that we want, that's part of the idea of the shofar. Shofar is a tefillah. We don't know exactly how to say what we need. So the... So to turn to an intermediary, that's a diminishing of our amuna. So now the Chasam Sofer is about now have to explain to you. So I'll explain it very quick because it's late. He's now explained to you, but the Ramah does say Yelech al Chacham Shavir, but Moshe Rabbeinu did that on behalf of the people. So he says the pshat is the following. Pshat is that mispal chaver etzor sheyech la'atzmi olam. Is that when a Jew davens for another Jew, when the chacham shavir davens for one who's baal batim, when the rebbe davens for a chosin, it only happens if the friend, if the rebbe is cholik sas, if he takes on a little bit of the machla, if he feels a little bit of the pain that the petitioner is going through. Sheyira shegam hu chayla. He says that what happens is I have a choshev, a friend. He may be explaining this. Maybe that might be explained also how a nifter can do this as well. But you have a chochem shebeir, a rebbe. So the chochem shebeir has to, in order for him to daven on behalf of a member of the year, he has to empathize and feel part of the tsar. So once he feels part of the tsar, once he's there with the choyla, so the chasm says so. If you have one a choyli and it affects several people, so send in your best misfalo. But he's not davening on behalf of somebody else. He's not an intermediary. He's davening for himself because he's part of the tsar. He's part of the machla. So that's what the Chasam Sofer explains, that the way tefillah works, when a shliach tzivra davens on behalf, when a chochem shir davens on behalf, he's davening for himself. But he's mishtatif b'tzar. And in another place, the Chasam Sofer says, that's the special zchus of that tefillah. He says, why is it that the tefillah of the Rebbe is a powerful tefillah? More than the chayla sometimes? Because the Rebbe, when he davens for the chosid, he is able to be mishtatef b'tzar shel acher. So that chus is helps the tefillah also. All right, so we began with some of the unusual aspects of davening on the Yom Ne'iram. Most important is lasim lev, to be attentive, to be attuned to it. Most important thing is to be attentive to all the different ideas which are going on in Slichas and in the Machzer. That's number one. Number two, we pointed out, we have all these intermediaries that we don't usually use, and we have the concretized, dramatic davening of the Tipa, the Tavuch, the Midrash, and we pointed out it could be that that's part of the idea of the Shofar. The davening is different. Even though we pointed out Matzoi Shabbos, that the Vilnagoyin and the Rechaim Elojman say Punkt Farkarit, but the davening of Rosh Hashanah is a model for the davening of the rest of the year. Both are true, different parts of davening. And then we pointed out that the idea of intermediaries in different forms is an old, old debate. And the Rikanti's defense from Kolev, and that the usage of intermediaries is only as to be machnis the tefillah, but not to be someone who would, or something who would make decisions and actually grant reprieve or grant a response. And then we pointed out that there are precedent for these ideas in the Medrash and in the Gemara, and the idea of the Chasam Sofer, which he says is really what the Maharal is saying, that the tefillah of the human intermediary is not, he's not an intermediary at all. He's not even being machnis the tefillah. He is being mishtatef b'tzar shel acher, and therefore davening on behalf of himself.